anyone doesn't have it, I think someone need to make that happen for you if you just raise your hands. You got the outline, but even before going there, I would just, since you got the outline, I don't have to go through a lot of it, because I feel the Lord is drawing us to something he wants to do. You know, last night, it was almost 3 o'clock in the morning before we finally fell asleep. My wife and I were, we went in late to bed, about 11, and then she took a very quick snooze, and she was up. I never did. I think I had too many sodas or something. And so we decided to watch some TV to see if we get sleepy. And we watch some of these programs that involve lawyers and courts and judges and prosecutors and defendants. And the Lord was working with me a while ago to have me share how important it is for us to understand the kind of transaction that he did. You see, God is a just God. And even though he is love, he doesn't just have love. He is love. His essence is love. But he's also a God of justice. And so, as creator, just like Elisa said, he breathed on the shape of a man made from earth, and man became a living being by the breath of God. God had many plans for Adam. But then Adam committed sin. And as a loving God, he longed for Adam to be restored. But as a fair judge, sin had to be punished. And so he devised a plan so that Adam could be spared until the fullness of justice could be done for Adam. And not just for Adam. See, when Adam multiplied himself, as God has told him, all his children, because of the sin of Adam, were separated from God. See, Adam was a child of God before his sin, but when he sinned, he became a son of sin. Jesus told the Pharisees that were fighting him all the time, "You are of your father, the devil." So you see, not everyone is a son of God, as some people may tell you. You know, we have to do something ourselves for us to become children of God, so that God can once again become our father. And so he did all kinds of sacrificial offerings for man so that the punishment for sin could be postponed until the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, could come, live a perfect life, and then die, paying the punishment of of sin for all of mankind. And that's the way the judgment of God can be fulfilled on mankind. See, God is a fair judge. He punishes sins and he blesses righteousness. And see, this is the important part. We, as the Bible clearly states, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means every one of us, because we have fallen from the righteousness of God, deserve to pay the penalty of hell, an eternal death, because of our disobedience. But God had a plan for us to be exonerated from that punishment if we accepted the free gift that Jesus came to earth to give us. You see, Jesus paid the hellish punishment that was supposed to fall on all of us because we have all sinned. And so, when we accept Jesus as the Savior who paid for our sins, then God sees us now through the work of Jesus. And so we don't have to pay what Jesus already did, because now we belong to the Lord. And that's when the Creator God becomes our Heavenly Father. I was thinking this morning that of all the names that God has talked about in His Word, Father is a very significant one. Jesus called Him Father. Not only Father, He called Him Abba, which means even a close-knit relationship than just Father. Daddy. You know, we all have fathers, but some of us have close daddies because we're very close with our dads. And that's the way God wants us to be. Fatherhood is a very challenging character-shaping journey. It is not a sprint. It is not a fast race. It's really a marathon. It takes a while for us to get how to be a good, righteous, godly dad. And it's not that we are going to achieve perfection, but we are going to improve step by step as the process of sanctification works in us. And then as godly dads, we plant seeds of faith in our children so that they can become children of God, just like we became through Christ Jesus. And the key for all of this, for us to become godly dads, is to know who we are in Christ. We have been studying the book of Ephesians, and the first three chapters, we took something like a month and a half or two to go through. It talks about our identity in Christ. When we receive Jesus as our Savior, God made a change inside of us. But we need to find that out here so that we can start acting like what we know here, and then we become those things. It's like going to college. You learn a lot of facts, and then you go to work, and then you're thinking, why did I study that? And all of a sudden, then things start making sense. Oh, this is what I learned to do. You had it in your head, but now you got practical application for it. So there's seven characteristics that they're not inclusive, but they're important. The first one I just spoke about, a godly dad knows his identity in Christ Jesus. You see, before you can reflect Christ's identity to your children, you have to know them and walk in them to some degree for you to show them. I had a picture of a good dad here that is trying his best to be a good dad, to feed his child, you know, and you can see food all over the kid, poor thing. And that's the way we learn, you know. At first we make a big mess and mama thinks, why did I leave him do that? Why didn't I do that myself? I could have saved a lot of cleaning. But a good dad grows in his knowledge of how to walk the Christian life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, Paul told the Corinthians, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. It's not an easy thing to be a dad. I mean, any man can easily become a father, whether he wants to or not. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about being a physical father. I'm talking about a dad that has relationship with his children. And so we need to be brave and be strong, because there are going to be some difficult times. I think my wife and I talk to many people that plan to get married. And one of the things we tell them is, you know, most young couples, when they are thinking about marriage, they're very selfish. You know, they're always thinking about, oh, you know, life is going to be great. I'm going to be finally connected to the love of my life, and then we can do all the things that we wanted to. And we always tell them, you know, there is a solution for the selfishness of young couples, and that is having a child. You realize that you cannot be all about yourselves. You have to devote the better part of 18 years, if not double that, depending on the amount of kids you have, that you have to give yourself completely to somebody else. And I'm sure many of you have gone through that experience already. So you have to be brave and you have to be strong. Ephesians chapter 6, we're talking on Wednesday nights about the belt, the armor of God. And the word instructs us to stand and gird ourselves with the full armor of God. Talks about the waist being girded with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel for our feet. Then it talks about the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And all those things are needed in order for us to grow and become the dads that we are, the godly dads that we are called to be. One of the fiery arrows that Satan releases to all of us dads is our identity. If the enemy can get you to doubt your identity, he can get you to doubt God and his plan for you. And so, you know, you get these thoughts, what if I just get out of here? This is a bondage. This is hard. This is not what I signed for. Hang in there. Redemption is coming. God is providing you with the strength. And if you don't quit, God will make sure that you will come out across to the other side, and you will realize that you invested yourself enough for your child to become a godly man or a godly woman as God intended. So you need to know your identity in Christ. Secondly, you need to lean on God's word. You know, many times, and I am guilty of it, we want to do things on our own strength. We think we know it all. You know, I know they're always blaming teenagers for being the know-it-alls, but I have seen my teenage attitude going throughout most of my life in thinking that I know it all. And if I don't know it, I invent it. And it's gotten me into a lot of trouble, a lot of expense. And I think it's time for me to change. Sometimes as a father, we think we got all the answers. But you know, there's some good news. Nobody has all the answers. We're not supposed to. Our role is to point our children to the one who does know all the answers and to show them where to go for the answers in the time of need. And that is God's word. He has given us his word for that purpose. In James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So God, whenever you ask God for help, he comes through and he doesn't make you embarrassed. You know, he's kind, gentle, understanding. And if we're sincere about looking for wisdom, he will provide it when we ask him. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When it's time of need, it seems to be constant, doesn't it? In this kind of world that we live in, there's always issue. I was thinking, I was talking to my wife yesterday, and you know, we took a little break a while ago, a couple of them. And so we were out of the house, for a few days. And now that we're back, you know, this has to be fixed and that had to be taken care of and this and that. And the more stuff we have, the more we have to spend time taking care, maintaining it, making sure all is paid and fixed and properly working and maintained. And I'm thinking, I'm just so overtaken by the more stuff we got, the more we have to concentrate on maintaining it. And we don't get to enjoy a lot of it. So why have all kind of stuff that just binds us with chains that we're committed to it? You know, we become the stuff slave. So we have to rethink our attitude sometime. Second Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. In other words, it is good for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has given us his word, his Bible, for us. That's our basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E. He has given us a manual for us to tackle the issues of life, because in his word there is life, wisdom, and it's good for all those kind of things. God wants you to ask him for wisdom while being a father, because he knows you don't have all the answers. He also wants you to use, he wants to use you as a vessel to teach your children where they can go when they need wisdom. You see, there's going to be a time that dad and mom may not be there for them, and they need to know how to get help. And so when you teach them that you depend on the Lord and his wisdom in his word, then they will catch that and they will do likewise. A godly dad prays for his children. You know, prayer is a thing that I see many men are, you know, we get the idea that, is that necessary? You know, do we really have to pray? And so we have prayer meetings, and it's mostly women. Men hardly ever show up. And because we think we can do more things with our time than just praying. Then we find ourselves in pickles, you know. Have you ever heard yourself say, well, all we can do now is pray, like it is the final choice, the last resort? Well, I've tried everything else. I don't have anything else to try, so I'll just pray now. Well, I challenge you to make praying for your children a priority. In your flesh, you know, we want to control and worry and take care of things on our own strength. And God is saying, hey, just call me up. I'm available if you would just call on me. But he is a gentleman. He will not intrude if you decide to do things on your own strength. Praying for your children releases both the burden of control and worry over to Christ. He will take care of it. Surrendering to prayer stops the enemy from trying to tear you down with fear. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus spoke a parable to them with the intent to let them know that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And you say, always? How's that? Well, it's not a physical thing. It is an attitude. You know, when you depend on the Lord for whatever happens to you, that is a prayer attitude. And then the Lord is always there, just meeting your need every time you need it. Giving thanks for what he has already done and is doing, so that he can finish the work that he has planned for you and the work that he has planned on your children, to finish them up and lead them in the right way. A godly dad leads by example. And here we've talked about that recently in Bible study. You know, we've all heard, do as I say and not as I do. Well, you know, that doesn't quite work, because they pay attention to what happens out there, not necessarily to what is being said. And then somebody says, action speak louder than words. Well, which one of the two is right? Is it words or is it action? Well, you actually need both. But sometimes we have a lot of words and no action to corroborate those words. And so how you live is proof of who you put your faith in. Is it in yourself and in your own wisdom? Or do you put your faith in God? And kids are watching. And they will mimic how you live. And if all you do is depend on your strength, on your stay, on your say, on yourself and on your strength and on your wisdom, then the kids will learn to do likewise. And you know, we just don't have it all. Act in accordance with what you want your children to see you do. When frustrated, make sure you pray so that they can see you. But be sincere about it, not just for a pretense. When you are joyful, thank the Lord. That comes from him. There will be times of frustration. There will be times of joy. Make sure that you start acting on those things. Frustration, pray. Joy, praise. They will learn by your example. Number five, a good dad seizes teaching moments. Boy, are those necessary. You know, we're very quick to judge. I have told you that I was raised more with the judgment aspect than the praising aspect. And I missed a lot of teaching moments because I was judging rather than using a circumstance to bring a teaching moment that could enhance their knowledge of the Lord and circumstances. You know, teaching moments partner with leading by example. And so there's times of correction and instruction, but those could be times that kids will learn something that they will never forget. Situations of worry or stress or joy and celebration, they're all teaching moments that the Lord can use to shape you and for you to model out to your children the way they ought to behave. So take advantage of those teaching moments. Again, you incorporate everything that we have talked so far. You know who you are in Christ. You know the Word. And so you lead by example, and you seize those moments and pass that on to your children. In Proverbs 23, is that the one? No, it's not the one. Or is Isaiah? There it is. In Isaiah 54, there's a great promise. And I hadn't seen it before till last night. It says, "All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children." You know, that is a promise. And of course, when Isaiah is talking, he's talking about the future. But you know, we can aim for that right now. We want our children to be taught by the Lord. And so we have to exemplify that. Are you being taught by the Lord, or are you just doing your own thing? And are you walking in peace? Are you reflecting that peace to your children? So seize those moments. You need to be shepherds to your children. Dads, they're looking for somebody to emulate. And so, spend time with them, quality time, not just work and get stuff for them so that they will be okay. They want your presence. Godly dads encourage children to look to Jesus for identity. You know, the world will tell them, well, for you to be prosperous, you have to be this, you have to do this, you have to have this. We have to teach our children that they need to find out who they are in Christ, just as you found out, and you have to demonstrate to them that you did. The older the children get, the more the activities will be around you, you know, games and school and competitions and football, soccer, baseball, music. You know, life happens. And if you don't watch it, these activities, their accomplishment, all the school stuff, they will compete for the attention of your children. And you miss teaching moments, and you don't incorporate the things that they need to identify with. And that is, first and foremost, that they belong to the Lord, if you have led them right. That their identity is not what the world says, is what God says. Who they are in Christ, so that they can act and behave as adults with that in mind. And then number 7, a good dad tells children whose ultimate authority rules. Whose you are defines who you are. In other words, who you belong to defines who you are. You act in accordance with the one that you belong to. You say you're a child of God, then you belong to Him, and you need to be acting, all of us need to be acting like Him. If we believe that we belong to the Creator of the world, then we will submit and surrender to His ways, because His ways are perfect. And the same principle applies to our children. Knowing God's authority places God's opinion and God's word above everything else, and we need to instill that in our children. If God is creator, like I said, He's a creator of all, and He wants to become father individually of each one of us. So let your children know your role as a parent is to be used by God to raise them up in a way to see Him as a loving father, as a savior, and as a counselor. If they understand God's authority and his word, then they will walk in victory in this world. Now, at the end of that little paper, there are three lies that the enemy uses, and we'll close with that. The enemy will tell you as a dad, I should never make a mistake, you know, and we think we're perfect, and if not, we go to the other extreme. I'm no good. I'm always making this kind of this and this kind of that. I'm messing up all the time. I don't know if I should be even being a father. Well, God will teach if you're willing, if you will ask him to instruct you. He will show you that he's strong when you're weak. And mistakes are just opportunities for you to grow as a godly dad. And that show your children that growing in faith is a long, a lifelong journey. So that we don't achieve perfection instantly. And we're going to be messing up a few times. But if we're humble and sincere about it, then we'll go to the Lord, ask forgiveness, and keep on growing. Another lie is, never ask for help. I still swallow that every so often. And my wife is really pounding on me on that one. You know, the older I get, the less able I am physically, and I need to cry out for help more and more. And finally, you know, we as men think that prayer is sometimes useless, that we can act quicker than prayer does. And so the enemy just says, just don't pray, just do your thing. And we never pray for ourselves. We never pray for our children. We never pray for our wives to keep us straight. And so we have a prayerless life, and it shows. And God is saying, you know, ask, ask, and you shall receive. Well, I want to finish up today with you see, there's a happy kid, even though he's got food all over his face. I want to finish praying for you, fathers, and for those of you that one day might become fathers. So, you know, if you are one like me that very early, I wanted to become a dad early in life because I was born when my father was 54 years old. I always saw my dad as an old man. I didn't want my children to see me as an old dad. In fact, Mama and I were looking at our certificate of marriage. She was 20, I was 22. We were just kids having kids. And you know what? They all made it okay. You know, there's a few glitches that could have been avoided, but what is life without challenges, right? So let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for bringing men in relationship with you that they can be called children of God. Father, I thank you for opening the hearts of men as well as women. And Father, infusing your life through your breath into us so that we could not only call you Creator, but we can call you Father. Lord, I pray that if that has not happened in any of the men here, Lord, that you would reveal yourself as a saving God that can become Father when they act on it. Lord, I pray that you give all the fathers, especially this week, Father, better understanding of their role as a father. Lord, that they know what they're called to do. Father, that they know that you have a calling and you have placed a responsibility with privileges in their shoulders. Lord, that they can enjoy things, but that also they must perform certain duties that are required of fatherhood. Lord, we want to do a good job. We want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So, Father, we ask for wisdom for every man and everyone that wants to become a father. Lord, I pray that you will break us to the point that we will learn to ask, to pray, to seek after you, to learn who we are in you, and Father, to portray that in our daily lives so that our children are being taught by word and by example how to be the godly men that you have called us to be. I bless every father here today. I pray, Father, that they would have the health, the provision, and the strength, Father, that they need to be all you've called them to be in the home, with the children, with their wives. And Lord, that they would be people who exemplify your character as a father, even in their community. Lord, I bless them today, and I pray that they would have a wonderful week, Father, experiencing your love, your wisdom, and walking it out day by day as they improve with every action, with every circumstance, that they seek out your strength and you provide it, Father, being the faithful God that you are. I bless them, I bless their families, and I thank you for them. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, I pray that the rest of your day will be a good one. I'm sure wives have prepared some great meals, so go and enjoy them. Have a blessed day. If you need prayer, we will be here for a short time. Be blessed.